Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
Blaylock Dialysis Center is a convenient state-of-the-art dialysis center in the Houston area, run by Dr. Panakin Patel. Relax in a comfortable environment while receiving quality care. Serving adults 18 to geriatrics, we are here to help you. Call 713-463-6611 for more information, or visit us at our website at www.blaylockdialysiscenter.com. Blaylock Dialysis Center, where helping you get well is our priority.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
Get off the grid and step inside your heart. Sister Jenna guides you through a powerful, encouraging, and motivating meditation that allows you to let go and become aware of you, regain strength, power, and peace.
Conga.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was our wonderful friend, Sanatan Kaur, who will be in Washington, D.C. at UDC Theater on May 10th. We're also going to be out there, so hopefully we'll get a chance to see you. It's just, I don't know, you might not understand a single word in her songs, but who cares? The spirit can feel it. The spirit can feel the vibrations of Sanatan's music. So please put down May 10th, UDC Theater of the Arts, if you happen to be in D.C. or you're living in D.C. or if you want to visit D.C., come on over, and around that time you'll be able to experience Sanatan. So while I'm listening to Sanatan and Kenny G's Songbird, remember that old-time classic? I found myself doing like a little mini life review, and I had gotten a message, sorry, from my aunt about my father just passed away just a few months ago, and she went to where his tomb is and the message and all of that, and she sent me a picture of it. And I was just reflecting on my time with the soul, and then I was reflecting on my time with my mother, and I was reflecting on a luncheon that I had with a wonderful, wonderful woman that I'm gaining a deeper understanding of her incredible world in the world. And we were exchanging each other's life stories. And I remembered that I was moving towards how much I've learned from the life story of my mother and the courage that she has brought to her narrative. And so these quotes emerged as I kept going back and not comparing, but observing, where did I learn the most? What did I learn the most? Who actually left the most indelible imprint in my awareness? And I don't know, these quotes came up, and I just wanted to share them with you all today. This is fresh off the press, breaking quotation news on America Meditating Radio by Sister Jenna. Here's the first one. Don't waste your life forgetting all the good people who have served and been good to you by remembering the ones who were not. And the second one, it's basically the same kind of train of thought. Forget the people who gave you hurt because they were in pain, but keep the ones who live in joy and gave you happiness. The third one, if you keep thinking about people who gave you sorrow, you will never recognize the people who were giving you happiness. And it always fascinates me how when we're in a very mindful state or a relaxed state, the wisdom that comes out of your inner being, and that's the power of meditation, and that's the power of being on a spiritual path or a spiritual journey. I'd like you to stay tuned because we're going to have a heart-to-heart with Dr. Linda, love me even if I messed that up majorly. And before I get Linda on the line, we're just going to hold just a minute of remembrance, as we always do, to send good wishes to our nation's capital and to the world. The America Meditating Radio Show is now in 90 countries. That's an amazing gift. You know, I'm beginning to realize online is so much more powerful than having some major radio network that's only featured your story in just that particular area. So thank you for all the inventors of online processes. So here's a little meditation that I'd like us to just do for just a minute. Yeah, just step back for a little bit and breathe. And let's rise above. From the Just a Minute meditation CD, here's Rising Above.
Rising above. Taking just a minute, I imagine stepping into a hot air balloon. The balloon slowly lifting up into the blue sky. Looking down, I see the picture of my life. Any problems seem so small. I take this moment to enjoy silence, peace, and to rest my mind. As the balloon gently descends, I return to my day with a quiet and peaceful mind.
Welcome back. That was Rising Above, just from the Just a Minute Meditation CD. You're listening to America Meditating Radio, and I'm your host, and today we're welcoming the amazing Dr. Linda Lehrhaupt. Linda, you're going to have to help me. But this is, April is Stress Awareness Month. I don't know how many of you actually knew that. And today we're joined by Dr. Linda, who will share with us some mindfulness-based approaches to stress reduction. Linda is the founder and executive director of the Institute for Mindfulness-Based Approaches, the oldest training institute of its kind on the European continent. As a teacher, trainer, and supervisor in mindfulness-based interventions, Linda is recognized internationally as one of the pioneers in their implementation in healthcare, society, and personal development. Linda has practiced Zen meditation since 1979 and received full authorization as a Zen teacher in the White Plume lineage. She also began studying Tai Chi and Qigong in the late 70s with some of the first Chinese masters to come to the West. She's the author of several books and co-author of Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, the MBSR program for enhancing health and vitality. Today, we welcome Dr. Linda Lehrhaupt to the America Meditating Radio. Can you help me, please? Hi.
I love the different variations you've spoken.
I know, because I'm kind of experimenting with it, you know?
Well, I'll just pronounce it for you. It's Lehrhaupt. Lehrhaupt. Which, by the way, in case you're interested, means in German, head teacher. Yes.
Really? That's amazing.
I didn't find that out until many years when I met my future to be German husband, but it seems a very appropriate name. That is my maiden name, so I was born with it.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you for not making me seem too silly.
You did a lovely job.
Thanks. So listen, Linda, you've been practicing Zen meditation way before, and I don't want to say this with any disrespect, but way before meditation or Zen meditation seems to be the fad of today, unfortunately. But you've been practicing it for quite some while. Is it safe to say that you didn't start practicing Zen because you were stressed out, but were you actually soul-seeking? How did you get on the path?
Well, actually... I was introduced to Zen meditation at a time of deep crisis in my life. I was a young woman, 28 years old at the time, and had just lost her mother to breast cancer, by the way, and had a very young baby, and really was lost in terms of how I was going to go on and face all the challenges that I had to face, including caring for my completely handicapped father. So I was desperate and wondering where to find the strength and resilience to just get up in the morning. I mean, I had reasons, of course, my daughter and my father, but still I wanted to go really from existing to living, and I happened to read a book which described Zen meditation. I had absolutely no idea what it was, but something about it sparked in me, and I went and started a course, and, well, that's history. I just began and continued all these years.
Beautiful.
So, that's basically how I began.
It's funny because a lot of folks tend to say that people come onto the path of spirituality because of something that might have not been working. And I know that it's not always the case. But I do know when the soul loses something that was its rock or its foundation, it automatically really on many occasions begins to seek deeper truths to what is permanent or what is real or what is eternal. And I would say that that's why for some reason our destiny does lead us to a deeper soul, sense of soul searching. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think that what you're calling soul searching, what might also be called spiritual longing or in different traditions, is something that has been with us since humanity began. I mean, even in caveman days, when they were drawing the beautiful cave art that we've discovered today, that represented also a soul longing to explore and to find itself. So spiritual seeking is a part of every culture that we know of. It manifests in different ways, but it seems to be connected to also a spiritual longing. that human beings seem to have, or connection, or a sense of belonging. And going beyond, so to speak, not because everyday life is not soulful, but sometimes we can get so caught up that we lose that connection. And so there is a deep desire to connect and to go deeper.
Well said, well said. Well, it is a special month here in the United States, and it's estimated that stress affects more than 100 million Americans. That's a lot of people, and millions of people worldwide. Some of the highest stressors are, you know, the economy, money, health concerns, family struggles. What is mindfulness-based stress reduction, and can it really help us to reduce stress and live a happier life?
Well, mindfulness-based stress reduction was a program that by Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn at the University of Massachusetts Medical Center, and it first began in 1979 and is now celebrating almost its 40th year. It's in the form of an 8-week course where participants come once a week for 8 weeks and for 2.5 to 3 hour sessions in which, first of all, they learn basic formal meditation practices, the body scan, gentle yoga, sitting meditation, and walking meditation. And then they're also introduced to how to practice mindfulness in everyday life by engaging in mindful activities such as mindful eating or doing a daily task mindfully. And there are also themes of each week looking at basic themes such as what is mindfulness, but also themes such as mindful communication or how we can take care of our bodies because we tend to ignore our bodies all the time. So being at home in the body. And there is some information about what is stress and how we can work with it in a mindful way. Mindfulness itself, I think it's helpful to understand how we define it in mindfulness-based approaches. And I'm using now a definition from Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn. Mindfulness is the awareness that arises when we pay attention on purpose in the present moment. And so there is, through meditation practice, participants begin to learn how to be more and more present in the present moment so that in the present moment life happens, choices are possible, wise reflection is possible on what is going on, and rather than being lost in the past, in memories and thoughts, or being busy running to the future, it gives us an opportunity to really be grounded in here and now and to have a sense of centeredness from which we can face our life and live our life and be in the world. You mentioned at the beginning about all the different kinds of events that can cause stress, such as the economy, politics, war, difficult illnesses or family situations. That's life. Life does happen. What mindfulness can help us to do is to be with life's challenges and opportunities in a way that allows us to experience vitality, to be able to work with them in constructive and skillful ways, and to not perhaps engage in activities such as distraction or eating too much or all kinds of other things that sometimes we do because it's very difficult. Mindfulness can really support us to live a life here and now, but in an energizing and vital way, which allows us to really face and be with what is.
I loved everything that you've said because it makes sense, and I wish we all did it more in terms of just the culture that we're in, because there are more props outside of us to distract us from a real sense of ourselves. And so this is where I find that at least being able to cultivate more the awareness of mindfulness is an essential tool to not just sit and meditate, but to have an awareness of mindfulness when you're walking and moving around.
Okay, mindfulness is the awareness. And we are training what one can also call an awareness skill that can be available to us in all parts of our lives.
Beautiful, beautiful. For individuals who are looking at getting more into mindfulness, I know you've released a new book, Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, which you co-authored with Petra Myberg. Tell us a little bit about the book and a few key points that you want us to at least take away from it.
Well, The book is meant to introduce people to the program Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction in various ways. We present some information about what is stress, how mindfulness can help us to be with it. We present various exercises in the program to give people a taste of what it might be to practice the various exercises. We also describe the 8 weeks of the program, particularly focusing on the themes such as mindful communication, mindful living, etc. How to take care of ourselves is a big point also in the program. How to befriend ourselves. And so it gives, and our intent was to present it in a very down-to-earth accessible way, which would allow people to either perhaps decide to take a course or to learn about mindfulness and see if this is something they'd like to integrate in their life. Many tens of thousands of people have taken part in these programs across the country and across the world. And sometimes people like to go back after they've done a course and review the material that they did. So it has several approaches, but it's meant to be really helpful to support people in what mindfulness might help them with and what it could do for their lives and being here in this, as you said at the beginning of the program, this precious life.
Thank you, Doctor. It's been quite a number of years that you've been in this narrative of a reflective life. Decades later, what does it all mean to you? I always ask this question to individuals who've been ahead of the journey. The shortcut question. What does it all mean? Yeah.
That's an interesting question. I think that there is so much in life that is a gift. And I, like anyone else, can sometimes lose sight of that. And it's not about, I think mindfulness practice and my Zen meditation practice and also the mindful body work that I did for many years really helped me, I would say for myself, not to run away. You know, to really have the courage and the groundedness to be able to turn toward life, both the joys as well as the difficulties, to turn toward them and really experience them in a way that helped to open my mind and body and heart, and to allow a sense of depth and wonder, as well as plain down-to-earth common sense, to really balance in my life and to keep me both present and safe, but also being willing to have a certain kind of courage, as it were. Not a kind of a wild, a warrior courage, but a true sense of here is life, this is my life. Can I really hold it and live it in a deep and meaningful way that will continue to allow me to really savor what is here, despite the circumstances? I think when I was quite young, I had the idea that things had to go my way in order for me to feel okay. And now I know that that's not the way it is. How can I respond to what is and live what is, no matter how hard it is, and know that this is an opportunity to really treasure my life and the life of others? I hope that
was a beautiful response. It did. And sorry to have gotten you off guard.
No. I appreciated the question. It's a little bit deeper than sometimes I've been asked to talk about, and I do very much appreciate it.
All right, we'll leave us with a website for our listeners to get a hold of you if they're interested.
It's www.institute-for-mindfulness.org.
Beautiful. So it's institute-for-mindfulness.org.
Exactly. And maybe something else that, if I could mention something else, I don't know if it's okay.
Please, go ahead.
But this may be something that's very supportive for teachers of mindfulness, for people who are teaching meditative body work, et cetera. I've started a podcast series, which is called the Mindfulness-Based Teacher Project. And it's short podcasts that are meant to support teachers and practitioners of mindfulness. And I just wanted to do a plug for it, and perhaps it will support many of your listeners.
We're very glad that you did. Very glad that you did. Doctor, thank you so much, and many good wishes along the way. Good luck on your new
book.
Thank
you very much for interviewing me.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So look at that. I mean, it's a journey, and you can gain so much insight. So meditation isn't just a sort of a fad or one sort of a kind of experience deal, but, you know, we're all different. We're all coming into the cycle of life at different times with a different vibrational narrative, and we're all going to unfold our stories. And I believe we're doing the best that we can. I do believe, though. And since this is Stress Awareness Month, I think the deeper we can gain insights on who we are and why we're here, the better it can be for all of us. We always appreciate you joining us, and I cannot end the show without us inviting our beautiful and lovely Sister Geeta to do what she does best, and that is to read us something that is even as inspiring as our conversation with our guest. Sister Geeta?
Good day, and I hope we're all enjoying this beautiful day and looking forward to the beauty of the future. I am moved to read from Daddy's book, Companion of God, Daddy Janki, one of the world's wisdom keeper, and the topic is about knowledge. If I am truly knowledgeable, yes, if I am a knowledgeable soul, I will be skillful in the things of the spirit. I will be centered successfully in my spiritual identity. I will be free from the influence of my past. There will be only peace and happiness within. True knowledge is not a question of intellectual understanding. It is for incorporating in my daily life in order to improve it. My every thought, word, and action becomes naturally aligned with the laws of the universe. All that has ever gone wrong begins to be put right. This knowing protects me from small-minded ways of seeing or thinking of others. It enables me to feel love for everyone, but without losing energy by entering into a lack of matters with others. This is the duty of those who have understood the self in depth. Intellectual arrogance is the sign that I have not become truly knowledgeable. True knowledge puts me in touch with the sweetness of life and makes me equally sweet. I am a being of light, full of purity, peace, love, bliss, truth. That is what it means to be knowledgeable, being aware of my eternal self. Om Shanti. Have a great day.
Powerful indeed. We'll end with remembering no one can take away our happiness unless we give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. Here's Lifted by Lucinda Drayton.